Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps for many of us, the story that we just read from Luke chapter 2 is a very familiar story. In fact, we hear it again and again each Christmas day and often in the days leading up to Christmas. We hear the familiar story that Luke tells of a child being born in Bethlehem. Perhaps for some of us here this morning, this is a story that's very new, one that you hadn't really heard, at least not in the way that you're hearing it this morning. Whether this is a story that is new for you, whether this is a story that's exceedingly familiar, all of us must know that even if it's a novel story or one that is so familiar we almost don't think about it anymore, all of us must know that when Luke penned these words, he intended that these would be words people without a doubt would know, are words which announce a world-changing event. This was not just an announcement for Jews. Jesus was born a Jew, came among the Jewish people initially and taught them. This, though, was an announcement simply for Jews. This was an announcement for all the world. This was an announcement that the kingdom of God had come in the person of this child. This was a kingdom clashing announcement. This was a world-changing announcement. And for those of us who have heard it so many times and maybe forget the weight of the story, we need to hear it that way again this morning. And for those who perhaps have never heard, and for that reason think it can't be all that significant, we must hear this morning that it is a world-changing announcement. Luke announces that this child was born in the reign of Caesar Augustus. Augustus was the revered one. Indeed, Caesar Augustus was one of the first emperors that, through his rule, began to give divine status to that of the empire. People began to see in the emperor one who described himself and took on his own lips one who was the Son of God. People saw in this emperor one who had ushered in a peace over Rome, the Pax Romana. People had seen in this emperor one who had brought that peace through sword and spear as he took over and enveloped more and more of the neighboring nations and defeated the enemies of Rome in often very violent ways. Luke announces in the midst of this emperor's rule that a child was born. A child was born in the city of David, and in announcing the birth of this child, without a doubt, Luke was evoking the very words of Isaiah that we read just a few moments ago. You see, those words of Isaiah were also written in a time of expanding empires. Those words were written in a time when God's people, the Jews, had experienced an invasion by the Assyrians to the north, a world empire that, in similar ways to Rome, was taking on greater and greater power in the world by putting yokes of oppression and bondage on top of their enemies. And Israel was precisely one of those people. The Assyrians had dragged many of them off into captivity. The Assyrians ruled not only the region of the Holy Land that we know today, but many other regions beyond it. And as Isaiah the prophet writes, this was a period in which God's people, in the verse just before chapter 9, will look toward the earth and see only distress, and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. God's people were living in darkness on account of this empire, the Assyrian Empire, that was lording over them. But Isaiah writes, a day would come. A day would come when the people walking in darkness would see a great light. And on that day, not only would the Assyrians be defeated, and surely Isaiah the prophet saw, by God's grace, saw the day of Assyrians' defeat, when indeed the nation of Assyria would be overthrown by a neighboring empire and be defeated, and God's people, the people of Israel, would find a freedom once again. But a day was coming, writes Isaiah, when a child will be born. A son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A day would come when a child would be born, and there's something oh so significant about the announcement of a child's birth. One would expect that an announcement to God's people that they would be delivered from the empire of Assyria, one would expect that that kind of an announcement would be an announcement of a new ruler, of an even more powerful ruler, with bigger armies, with stronger horses, and with more powerful chariots would be raised up to defeat the enemies of God's people. But Isaiah announces a child would come. A child would come. One writer says, how will God deliver from arrogance, war, oppression, and coercion? By being more arrogant, more warlike, more oppressive, and more coercive? Surely, he says, the book of Isaiah indicates frequently that God was powerful enough to destroy his enemies in an instant. Yet, again and again, when the prophet comes to the heart of the means of deliverance, a childlike face peers out at us. God is strong enough to overcome his enemies by becoming vulnerable, transparent, and humble. The only hope, in fact, for turning enmity into friendship. Luke writes that a child is born. And with the birth of that child, the angels announce glory to God in the highest and peace, peace on earth. Peace. The simple fact that God came to earth in the form of a child, the simple fact that God came as the most powerful of all rulers, not with a sword in his hand, but with a soother in his mouth. That God would come like that, and in the face of all who rule with an oppressive sword, in the face of all who would rule by military might or by human means of power, God comes as one who is humble and vulnerable and transparent and extends peace. What is the nature of this peace that the angels announce? It would be easy for us to mistake the nature of peace that the angels announce through many of our typical Christmas kinds of celebrations. The nature of peace that often comes to mind at Christmas time is gentle music playing through speakers of shopping malls, warm fires in our living rooms, families gathered around a tree exchanging gifts or enjoying a good meal. The nature of peace that so often comes to mind for us in the season of Christmas is a kind of serene, nostalgic kind of peace, isn't it? And I'm not for a moment suggesting that we shouldn't continue meeting with families and loved ones and enjoy those kinds of celebrations together. But when we ask ourselves, what is the nature of the peace that the angels announce? It is much, much more than simply a peace that we experience together with loved ones and families around a warm fire. The kind of peace that the angels announce is a peace that drives us 30 years further into the life of Jesus to Golgotha. It's a peace that drives us to the cross. It's a peace that drives us to the death and resurrection of this child. It drives us to the place where in the face of the powers of the world, in the face of Rome itself exercising power on all who would rise up and perhaps in some way threaten Roman stability, that would try to incite revolution, which no doubt some perceived Jesus as being, in the face of Roman power on the cross of execution, where Roman would snuff out for all to see the life of any that would try to incite revolution towards Rome. In that place, on a cross, we see the vulnerability, the humility, the transparency of God. For God in that place absorbs evil. In the face of those who are nailing him to a tree, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In that place, we see the loving forgiveness of God directed precisely towards the enemies of God. You see, the kind of peace that the angels are announcing that first Christmas day is a peace that God himself makes possible. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." To know the depth of that kind of peace, we go back to Isaiah, when we read in Isaiah 53 that this servant of the Lord, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Peace that God gives is a peace that comes to us through the forgiving love of Jesus accomplished on the cross. I dare say that the kind of peace which all people long to experience, whether they will confess it or not, is peace with God. You see, so much of the kinds of anxiety and fear and restlessness that drive much of what people do is an anxiety that comes from fear. All people live with various amounts of fear. We live with a fear about the future. Maybe we have no sense or trust in a higher power or a divine being, but we do often live with a sense of fear about the future. Will I have a job? Will I be able to provide for my family? Will I maybe be able to make something of my life? Will I be able to please the expectations of my parents? A fear about the future. Perhaps we live with a fear about our own mortality. All of us know that one day, our day will come when we die, and we live, perhaps unknowingly, with a fear about that day, an unsettledness about that day. And with that fear and unsettledness comes this need to cram as much life into this life as possible, amassing goods and collecting experiences and using relationships for as much pleasure as we can possibly experience in a lifetime, because we know our day will come. Perhaps we live with a fear about the situation that we're in. If it's in a nation where there is oppression and war, we live with that kind of a fear. Finally, it is only peace with God that will overcome those kinds of fears. Peace with God, knowing that God has come to us in Jesus Christ and has, as it were, come from the other side of death, as Jesus did when he rose from the dead, and he said to us, "Do not be afraid. My peace I give you." When he came from the other side of death and said, "I've conquered death, it's going to be okay," he takes away the fear of death and disarms its power. When Jesus says to us that he knows the future and holds the future in his hand, he disarms any fear that we might have about the future, even if from our perspective the future looks most uncertain. Because God holds the future, we can have peace about it, no matter what. The kind of peace that God offers is a peace that we will find nowhere else in the world. It's a peace that comes from the Creator God, who holds all things and everybody in his hand. People of God, know that peace. Submit your lives to this Prince of Peace, and know that the punishment for sin has been secured. Because, quite frankly, that's another source of people's fear. Hoping that they've lived a good enough life in the presence of God or some divine being or some ultimate authority. Have I lived a good enough life? Is my life good enough for God? Have I done what's been expected of me? Have I done the prayers, or have I accomplished the things that my culture or my society says I must accomplish? That can be such an oppressive question, a burden that one carries. God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he says, "I have lived a good enough life for you. Receive my life. Receive the gift of forgiveness that I offer you, and you will know peace." But lest anyone here think that the peace which the angels announce is simply a peace with God that gives us contentment and security in our own lives, let me announce that the peace that the angels announce is not simply a personal peace. It's not simply a peace that will get us through this life until our day comes and the Lord calls us home and we may know that our sins have been forgiven and we're going to a better place. Though, in part, those things are true. But the peace that the angels announce is a peace with God that demands a peace with our fellow humankind. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that Jesus himself is our peace, and he has made the two one. He has made the two, which in his day were the Jews and the Gentiles. He has restored a relationship that was broken between them, destroyed the barrier that existed between them, destroyed the dividing wall of hostility between them. The peace that God gives us in our heart is a peace that thrusts us into the world, and a peace that demands we show love and be reconciled with our neighbor. A little while ago, I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias. Some of you will know that name, quite a popular apologist, written a number of books. And in this talk that he was giving, he mentioned an experience he had when he was invited, along with some other Christian leaders, Jewish leaders, Arabic leaders, to attend a gathering in the Middle East. And people like the Archbishop of Canterbury were there, some Jewish priests from and rabbis from Israel were there, the founder of Hamas, Sheikh Talal, was present. Indeed, he was the one who hosted the gathering where they had this particular meal. And at that point, at that gathering, Rabbi Zacharias said, we had an opportunity to ask each other a question. Coming from different religious perspectives and experiences, we had opportunity to ask each other different questions. And it didn't really matter what they were, but just a question that we wanted to pose to a leader of one of the religious groups that was represented there. And when my turn came to ask the question, Rabbi Zacharias said, I said, Sheikh Talal, forgive me if I'm asking you the wrong question, but please tell me, what do you think of suicide bombing and of sending your children out to die in that way? Sheikh Talal gave his answer. In response, Zacharias said, Sheikh, you and I may never see each other again, so I want you to hear me. A little distance from here is a mountain upon which Abraham went 5,000 years ago to offer his son. And as the axe was about to fall on his son, God said, stop. I asked Sheikh Talal, do you know what God said after that? He shook his head. I said, God said, I myself will provide. He shook his head. I went on to say, very close to where you and I are sitting tonight, Sheikh, is a hill. 2,000 years ago, God kept that promise and brought his own son, and the axe did not stop this time. He sacrificed his own son. He just stared at me, Zacharias says. The room was full of smoke with all of his security people around. I may never see you again, I said to Sheikh Talal, but I want to leave this with you. Until you and I receive the son that God has provided, we will be offering our own sons and daughters on the battlefields of this world for land and power and pride. I could just see the man's lips beginning to quiver. He was sitting right next to me. Nobody said anything after that. As we were walking out, Sheikh Talal went quite quickly and shook hands with everyone. And then he came over to me and grabbed me by the shoulders, kissed me on both sides of the face, patted my face, and he said, you're a good man. I hope I see you again someday. He didn't go on to say if anything in Sheikh Talal's life had changed. Perhaps he didn't know or never met him again. I don't know. But there's something in this story that all of us must hear. And that is the announcement of peace. A peace that God provides through his son, Jesus Christ. A peace that comes from knowing a relationship with this son. And a peace that comes and flows out into reconciliation in our world. When we know God has provided his own son to forgive our sins, when God has taken on the punishment for sin upon himself, and when God has come in Jesus and says, peace I offer you, forgiveness. That kind of peace arrests all violence, hatred, bitterness, resentment, vengeance. It arrests it and enables us to be ambassadors of peace, peacemakers, in the way that we live our lives among our neighbors, in the way that we show the love of God to those in our own city that experience dis-ease and oppression, Indeed, this is good news. Do you know that peace? Do you know peace with God? Do you know the kind of peace that can speak into any situation in your life? And simply by hearing the words of Creator God, say, I love you. I am for you. I forgive you. Follow me. By hearing those words, you will know that peace when you draw those words into your heart and believe them. Do you know the peace of God? Now, just like the shepherds could not hold back the announcement that they had heard just as it had been told to them, we must be peace proclaimers too. In the way that we live our lives, we must announce that the Prince of Peace has come, and his life makes all the difference in the world. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Amen.